You're listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. If you would like more information or would like to connect with the show, check us out on Instagram and Facebook at Here's the Deal podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. My name's Dominic Kendall, and I'm so glad that you're joining us today. And I'm always glad to have my friend and co-host Luke Chris with us. Luke, how are you?
Doing pretty good, man. How about you?
Have you seen any snakes recently?
I have seen a snake in our
brand spanking new Broadcast Plaza.
That reminds me, actually, last week I dissed our studio pretty hard, and I just want to be clear that we are not recording in some podunk basement, but this place
is it's over 100 years old.
Well, what I was going for was it's in the midst of a
reconstruction.
Remodel.
Remodel.
That's why it looks like it currently does. But sometime in the near 3 months to 2 years, it will be an immaculate studio.
Yeah, 100%. And the snakes, what they are nature's way of getting rid of the mice.
Yes.
So it's just...
Yes, I did see a snake yesterday hanging from the ceiling rafters.
They're in the ceiling.
And it was horrifying.
It had a leather jacket.
I had. Yeah. It was carrying two pistols, had a leather jacket.
And had a cigarette behind its ears. Very small ears.
I was playing The Blessing incredibly loud through the Apple TV. I'm surprised I even heard anything. I just happened to look up and I saw about 10 inches of a snake body dangling from the ceiling, and it instantly disappeared. It was horrifying.
Yeah. As well, snakes are. They are a cursed creature.
Cursed creature.
God took away their legs. They're not good people. They're not good people. They're not good creatures.
Yeah.
All snakes should be dead snakes. That's what the Bible says. Speaking of the Bible, today we're continuing on our study of the book of Mark. The good old Gospel of Mark. Marky Mark.
John Mark.
And one of the things that we're talking about today is we've moved on past the temptation of Jesus and his ministry and the beginning of it. Now Jesus is putting together a team.
Yep. He has left Mississippi and he is back in Galilee calling his disciples.
Now one of the things is that I think is so cool. One of my favorite movie scenes of all time is in, The Hulk. It's in Iron Man. Have you watched this movie?
I've seen Endgame.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast today. It's at the end of Iron Man where Tony Stark is in a bar, and then Samuel L. Jackson's character comes up to him and says, "Tony, I'm putting together a team." And he says, and then the movie ends. It's one of my favorite scenes because I felt spiritually that this is what Jesus was doing when he came up to the disciples and he went, "Hey, boys, I'm putting together a team." And that's what he's doing. He's putting together a team, and this is the calling of the first disciples. And it starts here in...
I feel a more appropriate movie would be Dodgeball, The Average Joes. Have you ever seen that movie?
I mean, yeah. I don't know if that would be the most accurate portrayal of what Jesus is doing.
I mean, if there's ever a team, yeah, that's true. I mean, he's not really putting together a team to save his gym.
And also, the guy had no legs, that one guy who trained them all, Rip Torn.
That's John the Baptist. He's the one who came before them.
I remember.
Who was just a weird guy.
I remember John Baptist had no legs.
Yep.
And I remember his great advice. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
How about I read this? Because you read the last one.
Yep.
And it looks like you were gearing up to read it, so I just wanted to... All right, let me go ahead and read this. This is Mark.
John Mark.
Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 16. It's very hard to read when there's a mic right in your eyesight. Jesus calls his first disciples. It says this, "Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who were in their boat, mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Hmm.
So, Jesus is putting together his team.
Yep.
And so who does he go to first?
He goes to the fishermen, which I find interesting that we always kind of joke about the disciples like they're
some podunk poor people.
Yeah, podunk poor disciples who don't know anything. And I mean, that's partially correct. They were probably not very educated their entire lives, and their families' lives have been devoted to fishing and learning their craft.
Their trade, yeah.
They were blue collar for sure, but I mean, they had lucrative businesses. Their family fortune. They
Zebedee
had family had fortune.
Yeah. Zebedee, James and John said he had some money.
Yeah, so that even, I think we generally take the route of, look, God calls uneducated people to follow him. And yeah, that's true. He calls average people, but they had a lot to lose in following Jesus. They were leaving behind family fortunes.
Yeah. And they would have left behind stability and
for
position
sure.
And certainty to go into uncertainty. I would say the best depiction of this, before we even get really into the text, if you're looking for a good depiction of this story, sometimes I know for me, I've never read The Lord of the Rings, but I have watched every movie. I like to watch the movie. I like to watch. It helps me to see it better. It has not been since The Chosen, when I started watching the TV series The Chosen, that it radically changed the way that I perceive this and can kind of see this in my brain. If you're interested in The Chosen, it's wonderful to you. It's free. It is the first ever multi-season show about Jesus, and it was the number one highest crowdfunded project of all time at $10 million. From over 19,000 people. It's translated into 50 languages and counting, and is consistently ranked in the top 50 entertainment apps on iOS and Android. And it's awesome. It's completely free, and you can watch it on their app. If you download the Chosen app on your phone, you can either watch it natively right there on your phone, or you can cast it to your smart TV and other streaming devices. It is free. Now, you can make a donation. That's what me and my wife did. We loved it, and we made a donation because what they do is when you watch an episode and you make a donation, you're paying for that for season two. They're over halfway through. I think they need another $10 million for season two, and it's
the
awesome.
Bible.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so it's the whole thing is the starting out of Jesus' ministry and him calling the disciples. And this scene right here is depicted in it, and it's just really awesome. It's really great. And so well worth checking it out, and especially what Jesus is doing and calling people. And you fall in love with the characters. Yeah. You really do.
I've seen one episode. I need to continue.
Yeah. It's me and my wife. My wife, Meredith, is actually watching it again when the kids nap. So it's that good. It gives you moments of just pure worship. I love the Lord kind of stuff. It's great. And so we see Jesus. He's starting his ministry. He's putting together his team. And it says this, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then it says this, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. That is super famous. We've used that a lot. A lot of men's ministry uses that. Yeah. You would see a lot of them have been, they have that phrase, they have that verse on there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So what does that mean? Like, what is that? What is Jesus calling them to do?
Well, I think we see, if we go a little bit deeper into it, we see a lot of ties to the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of verses in the Old Testament that would relate God the Father of being a fisherman of men and women, calling people to himself. I didn't know if you had anything to add to that. I haven't looked into that a lot.
In Jeremiah 16, there's this depiction of God calling and bringing people in. And he says this in Jeremiah 16. It says, but as the Lord lives, who brought us up, the people up out of Israel to the north country, and out of all the countries where they had been driven out, I will bring them back there to their own land. I have given to their fathers. Behold, I am sending out, I am sending for many fishers, declares the Lord, and I shall catch them. And afterwards, I will send them for many hunters, and they shall hunt them, and every mountain and every hill, and out of the clefts of every rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their iniquity concealed from me. But first, I will doubtfully repay their iniquities and their sins, because they have polluted my land with the carcasses and their detestable idols. And so what happens is that Jesus, when he's talking about fishing, or what God's talking about fishing is this, is that this is a gathering of all the evil. It's a gathering of all the idolaters. It's a gathering of all those who think that they can avoid God and they don't have to live by his rules or think their deeds are done in darkness. He's going to go fishing for them. And he is not one who does not pull in a great catch. Yeah. And so he's going to pull them all in. What Jesus is doing here is a little bit different. What Jesus is doing is he's calling them to be fishers of men, to go gather the people with urgency.
Yeah.
Because that judgment is coming near.
Yeah.
And so gather them and to bring them in out of that judgment. Yeah. And so that's great.
And in light of that, one commentator would say this. He says the summons to be fishers of men is a call to the eschatological, or in light of the end times, task of gathering men and women in view of the forthcoming judgment of God.
Yeah.
It extends the demand for repentance in Jesus' preaching. I love this. Precisely because Jesus has come, fishing became necessary.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is here, follow me and let's go get more people.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, I think that's really good. One of the things I've always thought is really powerful about this is that right after he says this, I'll make you fishers of men, he says this, and immediately they left their nets and followed him.
Yeah.
And then they go on a little bit further. They saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Listen, not a chance. If I'm out and some rabbi goes, "Hey, follow me," I'm going, I need at least 3 weeks.
And he's like 30 years old at this point.
Yeah, it's not even somebody with gray hair.
Yeah.
It's just this guy who comes up and says, "Come, follow after me." And they left everything.
They left their family fortunes to follow this random man from Nazareth.
And there's some that believe that these guys were maybe followers of John, and had been in an experience like this before.
Yeah.
Some believe that maybe they were, that John had even told them about Jesus. If you watch the movie The Chosen, you'll actually see that they take that perspective, that not Simon, but his brother Andrew was a follower of John, and that John had told them to go and follow after Jesus, the one who was greater than him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how they got started following after Jesus, was it was on John's accord. But, I just think that's, man, for today, to go out and to follow and to leave everything for Jesus.
The call is the same.
Yeah.
And you were talking a little bit earlier about family business. Man, they left a family business.
Yeah.
With in their eyes anyway, a guaranteed inheritance, guaranteed future, guaranteed foundation.
Yeah.
But now, what are they joining?
A better inheritance and a better family business.
A better family business. Literally every day following Jesus, following God the Father, is bring your kid to work day. God the Father is calling you and saying, I'm sending my son, your brother. Now follow him and let's be kingdom builders together.
Yeah.
What a better family business.
And the urgency of immediately and now.
Yeah.
And all these words is that we have an urgent work now. This is not for you to go to seminary and then after you get done become a fisher of men, or for you to learn the entire Bible and then become a fisher of men. This is a family business that started in first century Israel and is first century Galilee and now is in 2020. It is still a family business that you and I are called to. And so we are called to be fishers of men. Even now, we are called to do so.
And what I know the heart of Dominic in saying that. What we're not saying is, don't prepare.
Be prepared.
Yeah, a call to follow Jesus is a call to prepare. A call to ministry is a call for preparation. Like seminary and those things are great, wonderful gifts of God. Be prepared. But that doesn't mean you're studying the plays and you're not in the game right now.
Yeah.
There's no, there's no sixth man. There's no 12th man in the kingdom of God. Right now, if you're following Jesus, you're on the field. Everybody's in the game right now.
Yeah.
And I love that, just immediacy.
And I think preparation comes with fishing. You've got to have your rod, you have to have your reel, you have to have your nets.
For sure.
You have to have what were James and John doing when they came? They were mending their nets. They were already getting prepared. They were done. They were probably done after they had just got done fishing, and they were preparing for when they went out the next time. It's a game of preparation.
Yeah.
And listen, it's not perfect, but it's something we're called to do. And that's what we've got to be doing. We've got to be people who are seeking, just like they were, with urgency, to bring as many people with us as we possibly can, to be fishers of men. And that is practically, I'm a pastor. This is my full-time job. I'm not around a whole bunch of lost people in my office. So practically for me, that's Sports Clips. Now, listen, if you listen to this and you go and you work at Sports Clips, I'm not saying that everybody at Sports Clips is lost. But I find that more often than not, the people I talk to at Sports Clips don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
And I have an opportunity to share the gospel because I get the MVP, and it takes a little bit longer, and they do my hair. And I get to share the gospel. Now, it's hard when they have that steamy hot towel on my face. But
when you're wearing a mask.
Yeah, that's right. And so, but that's one of the things I get to do. And you know what? We answer the door when people try to sell us stuff at the house. That's been one of our most effective ways of sharing the gospel.
The ADT man,
a man trying to sell curriculum for something. We open the door, and we are honest with people. We're prepared to say, we are not going to buy what you're selling us, but we want you to stand there and listen to us share the gospel with you. And so that's one of the ways that we're being prepared. And that's the thing. God sent you out to a place. There are plenty of fish in the sea, my dad once told me, and that is the case in your marketplace.
I don't think he was telling you that in light of ministry, though.
You're probably correct. However, who knew those words would ring so clear? And so,
one of my favorite things about the disciples is the life that they step into when they start following Jesus. Because you got to think, these guys, they may have left Galilee here and there for a festival or something of that nature, to go to a bigger city. But their entire life revolved around their craft in their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Peter. Peter went to Rome. Like John became the bishop of Ephesus. And Andrew went as far as the border of what we now know as of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Like these men went from, my life revolves around fishing, to I'm a worldwide kingdom builder.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing. I know my life before following Christ. I could not tell you how many, 4 or 5 years ago, I could not tell you the last book I read. And now books are a big portion of my, like the Lord just grows us in such crazy ways and puts so much bigger things in our mind and in our life. And I just love the way the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. And I love some of the metaphors for what it's like to follow Jesus. This one commentator says that following Jesus is basically, he's sliding you a contract that is blank, has no details on it. And he says, sign here.
Yeah.
I'll fill in the details later. The Lord can take you so many places if you just follow him.
Yeah.
And it may be big, extravagant places. It may be small things that you would have never dreamed.
Yeah.
But man, what a better life it is to follow Jesus when he calls.
Yeah. And it's encouraging in the scriptures. And I've seen this lived out with Chinese believers who would feel this very same call to come and follow after him. Yeah. And when they leave everything, that's the closest thing I've seen. They leave everything.
Yeah.
I had young men and young ladies whose parents disowned them. They lost everything. They had to do everything on their own. They lost their family support and their love, and they had to just do it all on their own. There was one young lady who gave her heart to the Lord. Her father found out, told her to repent and not do that anymore, and she said, I cannot. and I have to follow Jesus. And he burned her Bibles and completely cast her out in a community, in a place that's filled with shame. And if you have shame, that carries with you. Yeah. And for your family to disown you is shame.
That's heavy.
The call to follow after Jesus, we may not understand it like in the Bible, but there may be some people even listening who you feel the Lord calling you to do something like go overseas or go to an unreached people group or to do something like that. There is never any regret when you go, hey, I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what that means.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really good. You got anything else?
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much to unpack in this. I think one of the big things that stood out to me is just the correlation to what Jesus says in verse 18. Not what Jesus says, but what Mark says, that when he's describing the scene, he says, and immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And those two words, one, they left what they were doing. They left everything and they followed him. That's a direct correlation to what Jesus would say in chapter 8. The message that he came preaching is to repent and believe. No. Leave your sin, not only your sin. I think repentance means more than just leaving your sin. We see it means turning away from your sin, yes, but also leaving everything that you're holding on to. Everything that you find your hope in, you turn away from that. And you follow me. You follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And I just love that correlation from they immediately left and they followed. And that's exactly what Jesus is calling all of the people in that time, but all of us to do. Repent, leave, and believe, and follow me. Mm. That's just so good.
And I think I heard someone say that to follow after Jesus, to repent is to that your hands and the grasp that they have are broken, and everything that you were holding on to is now up for grabs.
Yeah.
The Lord may allow things to stay, and the Lord may take it all for whatever the cause is to follow after him. And I love that. And
it's
so,
an open-handed relationship for sure.
Yeah, and that's hard. It's hard to be a fisher of men. To be a fisher of people is difficult. People are hard. Church work would be awesome if there were no people involved. It is difficult and it's painful, and we're dealing with real people and real lives with real situations. And so to do this and to try to talk with people from different backgrounds, different religious views, it's hard. This is not an easy task, and it is messy, but it is what we've been called to do, and it's rewarding.
Yeah, that's good. I think before we close, something that just encouraged me today was verse 15, the final verse in Psalm 17. And I think after we read this portion of Mark, I think it calls us to do one thing. Hey, follow Jesus. Leave whatever you're holding on to and follow Jesus. And sometimes that could be very hard, because what we're holding on to can often look very pleasing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can also often look very good in our eyes.
Yeah.
And I just love this last verse in Psalm 17. It says this: as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. I love that, man. Every day when I wake up in the morning, I just want to behold the beauty of Jesus and be satisfied in who he is.
Yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful thing to pursue. Behold his beauty and be satisfied in him.
That's good. That's what he calls us to do. And I was reading Psalm 40 today that tells us that David says, my delight is to do the will of the Lord. Mm. It's a delighting in the calling that God has given us to be fishers of men. And listen, if you're listening to this, that is our job. It is not optional. You don't get to opt in or out of the call to fish for men.
Yeah,
it is a universal call for each of us.
And I would say, maybe in the most loving way possible, if you do not share that delight, like David said, if there's no delight in following the Lord, I would lovingly want to say, maybe you're not following him. Maybe you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. There is a story to tell, like you say, a better story to tell, and the good news that Jesus has come and he is willing to make a way. So our encouragement is share the gospel. It is not easy. I'm a paid professional Christian, and it is not easy for me to go up and just start a conversation and somehow lead to eternity. but it's necessary in your friendships, in your job relationships, not just in those one-off conversations that you have at the sports clips and with the guy selling you ADT security systems, but in your workplace, with your boss, with your spouse, with your kids. Be a faithful fisherman wherever you go, and make much of Jesus and tell the greater story.
That's good.
And that's our encouragement to you. If you're interested in different ways to do that, we actually have resources. I have resources. I've shared the gospel plenty of different ways and would love to share those with you, and would love to help out in any way that we can. A lot of the times, there are questions about different religions. There's questions about different faiths and backgrounds. There may just be, hey, how do I bridge the conversation? And we would love to do that. And we would just love to help you and equip you any way that we can. We're not perfect, but we try to help out as much as we can. Luke, any last things?
Just a Q&A episode coming up.
Yep, we got a Q&A episode coming up and some sick guests, all right? So we want to make sure that you guys are listening in, and we hope this is helpful. Reach out if you have any questions or any way we can help you. We love you guys. We're thankful for you listening. Share this with somebody. Take this today and send it in a text message to somebody else so they can listen to it, they can share it, and they can be blessed by it as well. We love you guys, and we'll see you next time on the Here's the Deal podcast.
Adios.